love you, we worship you, we thank you for everything you are and everything you do, all that you're going to do. And Father, we repent of our evil ways. You know, it's one thing for us to repent of an evil act, but it's another for us to repent of the evil in our hearts. And we all have evil in our hearts, whether we want to admit it or not. And so, Father, we repent of our evil ways. And I ask that tonight, Father, you show us the wicked ways that may be in us and show us how to walk in right paths. You're good like that, and I expect that for myself and for everyone else as you talk to us tonight. Mirror, mirror comes from the story of Snow White. You recognize that? Ron recognizes that. In the story of Snow White, the evil queen had a mirror. It was a mirror that could not lie. The mirror never lied. And so every morning she would ask a question of the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Thou, O queen, art the fairest in the land. And this made her happy every time the mirror said it, because she knew the mirror was not lying. You, O queen, are the fairest in the land. But one day, the mirror said, ha, Snow White, O queen, is the fairest of them all. She was furious. She was shocked, and she was furious. And so Snow White became the object of her hatred, and the rest of the story is her trying to murder Snow White. What if the queen had said, mirror, what do I need to change? Mirror, what do I need to do differently? The mirror was not capable of lying. That mirror is like God's word. If she had asked the mirror, what if the mirror had said, okay, queen, be good, be kind, be gentle. Learn to love people. Learn to serve people. Learn to put them ahead of yourselves. Be a friend to people. Care more about how they feel and what they're going through than your own feelings. What if the mirror had said that to her? Would she have changed her heart? Or would she have thrown rocks at the mirror? You see, that's the question for us. When we look in God's mirror, will we throw rocks at it? And we're going to talk about how we do that. Or will we allow God to change us? Surely, if the mirror had given her that advice and she had worked on changing her heart, her countenance would have been more beautiful. The Bible promises us that. It says in Proverbs, just as water mirrors your face, so your face mirrors your heart. Had she changed her heart, she would have been more beautiful than ever. Our face shows what's in our heart. Our actions are a true indicator of what's in our heart. Our face shows it. Have you ever seen someone and as soon as you saw them, you knew they were angry? By their face, right? Before you even got close enough to speak to them. Bishop tells the story about Pastor Marjorie, who knew when he came home whether or not she could talk to him by the look on his face. Do your children know whether or not they can talk to you when you come home by the look on your face? Do you know whether or not you can talk to your spouse? Does your spouse know whether or not it's a good time to talk to you? Have you seen someone whose face told you as you were talking to them, I'm not interested in you? Or I'm not listening, I'm distracted. Our face mirrors what's in our heart. Have you seen people whose face told you that they were confused? that they were lost, that they were troubled, that they were in need of help. Just as water mirrors your face. You can look in a clear pond of water and see your reflection. Anything that reflects the light, you can look and see your reflection of your face. In the same way, your face mirrors your heart. Next. We do have two mirrors. Y'all know the natural mirror in your house, right? Pastor Linda talked about that a couple weeks ago in her message, Where's the Evidence? And she had two young men stand up here with mirrors and hold them in. We could all look at them in. We all love to see ourselves in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. I want to see myself in the natural mirror. Now, this is just me. I made a list of things that I think about when I look in the mirror. Do I like this outfit on me today? Do I like this color on me today? When I started getting dressed to come here tonight, I put on a certain top and I looked at it and went, oh no, not you today. I have a peach top that I love, but some days when I wear it, it just makes me look washed out. I don't like the color on me today. Then I looked at a second one and I went, no, not you. You're too busy today. You know, busy print. And then I looked at this one. Yeah, you're perfect. Put it on out, and I was done. Do the clothes I chose look well together? I ask that when I look in the mirror. Or do I look like I dressed in the dark? You don't know what I put on until I walk out of the house and someone says, Donna, what happened? Yeah. Okay. Do they hide the flaws I don't want to have seen? Do you have flaws you don't want to be seen? Do you choose clothes that look well on you and cover your, I mean, like, I don't want to wear clothes that are too tight. I got a little fluff around the waistline there that I don't be laughing, Claudine. I got it. And I don't want my clothes to reveal. You know why when you look at ladies' fashions now, it advertises high waistband on the shorts, high waistband on the jeans, because it says hides your muffin top. Aren't we vain? You haven't seen those, have you, Vicky? You're laughing. I know you haven't seen them. We have flaws we don't want people to see. My daughter has a long scar down her back that was from her back surgery. And for a long time, she wouldn't wear the cute little swimming suits that she liked because she didn't want that showing. She got over that, praise God. But we, okay, man, I know some guys who will not walk out of the house without a hat on because they don't want their bald spot seen. So don't look at us women like we're the only ones. Okay. Yep, too late. Okay. So we all have things that we don't want other people to see. I look in the mirror and I go, do I feel happy in this? Because I know how important it is for me, I don't know about you, to feel happy about what I'm wearing. My perception of what I'm wearing affects my mood, affects how you will see me. So I ask, do I feel happy in it? Do I need makeup today? Oh, I don't really like wearing masks. But here's an upside, Shannon. You don't need makeup. I cannot tell you how much money I've saved on foundation and powder because I haven't had to wear a mask for a year and a half. Almost 2 years, I haven't had to wear makeup. You know, all you need, Claudine, right? It's your eyes. Just make up your eyes because they can't see the rest of you. Do I need makeup today? Probably not. Okay, how's my hair look? Aren't we vain about our hair? How's my hair look? Yeah, it's okay. Good. Good deal. Is there anything on my clothes that doesn't belong here? Is there any lint, hair, fuzz, flakes? Because after all, I've taken all the time to look in the mirror and make sure everything else is perfect. I don't want my outfit and my perception to be ruined by lint all over my shirt, right? Okay, what if we looked that carefully in the spiritual mirror? Let's go. We have a spiritual mirror. Mirror, mirror. See, the irony of this title is that there are two mirrors. There's the natural mirror and the spiritual mirror. Our spiritual mirror is God's Word. If we looked in His Word as diligently, as carefully, as perceptively as we look in the natural mirror, I guarantee you if I did that, I'd be a different person. I would see more than I see. Well, we'll get to it. James says, you know, we look in the mirror and we walk away and we forget. Yeah, okay. So some of the questions we could ask is, am I becoming more Christ-like? Isn't that the purpose of our journey on life? Isn't that our destination, to become more Christ-like? Our journey is to become more Christ-like. When you look in the Word, are you looking for where you're not Christ-like? Are you looking for, am I becoming more like Him? Because that, I mean, it ain't gonna, not going to happen overnight. We won't be perfected till we get there. But every day, am I becoming more like Him? Am I aligning myself with God? Am I careful to take the initiative to do what I know to do instead of waiting for God to tell me, to correct me, to use circumstances to change me? Do I serve God by serving others? There's really only one way you can serve God, and that's by serving others. He's not here. He is not standing here, and you cannot walk up to Him and say, Jesus, do you need a bottle of water? But you can offer a bottle of water to a human who needs it. You can serve Him by serving others. What does He say in Matthew? When I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you brought me water. I didn't have any food. I didn't have any clothes. You clothed me. That's God telling us that the only way we can serve Him is by serving others. If you say, oh, yeah, I serve God. You know, you're talking about yourself with other people. Yeah, I serve God. I know Jesus. I serve God. Do you serve God? The only way you can tell is look at your life and see, am I serving other people? Do I forgive? Why am I hesitating to read this one? Because it's hard. Do I forgive quickly? Or does it take me 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, or years? You know, I mean, these are questions that we can ask ourselves in the spiritual mirror. Do I forgive quickly? Or do I hold a grudge? Do I walk around avoiding somebody because I haven't forgiven them yet for what they did to me? Or what they did behind my back? Or what they did to a friend of mine? Or what they said? Do I forgive quickly? You know, Jesus did instantly. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing as they killed him. To the woman that Pastor Linda talked about, said, neither do I condemn you. Go, sin no more. He was the only person in that scene who had no sin, who had the right to throw a rock at her. And he was the only one who said, neither do I condemn you. They brought her. They condemned her. They wanted to stone her. Do I forgive quickly and completely like Jesus does? You know the old saying, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you might as well cancel the first part then. Now, we don't forget the lessons we learned, because we learned some hard lessons. But if you cannot forget what somebody did to you and forgive them, you haven't forgiven them. Do I forgive quickly and completely? I think this is the most important question on the list. Am I ready to walk out of my house and demonstrate Jesus today? This is a today question. Am I ready to get out of this bed, to put my feet on the floor and go greet my husband and demonstrate Jesus to him? Am I ready to walk out of my door and go to work and demonstrate Jesus? Am I ready to go to the grocery store and demonstrate Jesus? Am I ready? I know Bishop's habit, he loves to get his cup of coffee and go sit on the couch and listen to God and talk to God. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful way of checking your heart and checking yourself to see if you're ready. I like to lay in bed when I'm all alone in the bedroom, because Larry's an early out. I like to lay there and just talk with Jesus. And, you know, God, yesterday I didn't react quite right when Larry just told me all of his political information and I got fed up with it. I didn't act right. Can you help me today, God, to find a better way to respond when he wants to talk, when he wants to share his heart? Help me find a better way. Today, God, when I go out of the house, help me show Jesus everywhere I go. Am I ready? See, I would not walk out of my house without looking in the mirror. I have a mirror at the bathroom. I'm looking in the mirror when I brush my teeth. I'm looking in the mirror when I comb my hair. I'm looking in the mirror when I know if that part of me is ready. I walk past a full-length mirror as I go out of the bedroom, and I know, okay, I look ready. But have I looked in the Word of God? Have I? I mean, please, seriously, look in the Word of God. Ask yourself of what you know about God. Are you ready to walk out and demonstrate Jesus today? Because if you're not, probably shouldn't go out of your house. You're going to hand somebody a thorn. Let's go to the next slide. You can identify them. Who's them? Them is the godly people. People who love God or ungodly people. You can identify people, whether they're godly or ungodly, by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. So realize that the minute you step out the door, somebody is identifying you by your fruit, by your words, by your face. Does your face look inviting, generous, kind, loving, or does it look angry? Don't bother me. I got a mad on today. Don't bother me. Don't you come near me. It's your problem if you do. Yeah, okay. So you can identify people by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Now, we're applying this to ourselves, not to other people. You can identify whether or not I am ready to demonstrate Jesus today by the way I act. Because you can't pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle. What are you going to hand somebody when you walk out of the house? Are you going to hand them a thorn? Are you going to hand them a thistle? Are you going to talk to them and your words are going to be sharp and prickly and hurt them and turn them away from Jesus? Or are you going to hand them something sweet, like a grape or a fig, that's going to draw them closer to Jesus? A good tree, we're the trees, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. But whatever you are as a tree, you can change it. You see, the thing is, I can't change my heart. You can't change your heart. None of us can change our own heart. Only God can do that. But the catch 22 is that God holds us responsible for the condition of our heart. Now, how can he do that? If I can't change it, how can he hold me responsible for it? Because he has given us everything we need to change our heart, to be more like him. He has given us that entire Bible. And every person who lived that's recorded in that Bible has something to teach us about being godly, something to teach us about demonstrating Jesus today. Every one of them. He gives us everything we need to know in the Word. He speaks to us the living Word through the written Word. He speaks the living word to us through the word of the speakers who come up here and talk to us. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to live inside us and make the changes. All we have to do actually is be willing. All we have to do is seek him. All we have to do is say, yes, God, you're right. Forgive me. Change me. Help me. And then we have to pursue it. Because it's not enough for me to stand here and talk to you or sit there and listen to someone else speak and say, I see it, God. I see where I've been wrong. I'm going to change. And then go out of here and never think about it again. Yeah, that's right. I know it's right. I've been there. You've been there. We all been there. We hear the word. We say, great word, Bishop. Pastor Linda, you were right on. Oh, you were cooking today. And ask me 2 hours later, what did she teach? Well, maybe I can remember the story she told me, but do I remember what God said to me while she was telling the story? While she was preaching the word? Because that's the important part. What did God say to you about you? Not what God said to you about somebody else, because you can't change anybody else. It's just us. Let's go on. I'll stand here with this one forever. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. Do what God's teaching says. Isn't that what we're talking about? In his word, we have all the instructions we need to live godly, to demonstrate godliness every day of our lives. Now, a couple of stories. Jaylee, when I come to church on Sunday morning, meets me every Sunday morning somewhere shortly after I get here, and she says, Pastor Donna, do you need anything? How old is she? 16? 18. She's 18. She's asking me, Pastor Donna, do you need anything? How many people do I go up to on a Sunday morning and say, Ron, do you need anything? Barb, can I help you? I mean, say that again. We have to recognize where we are failing. When I get to the door, Chris is usually at the door, and I usually say, hey, how are you today, Chris? And he has several different answers, all of which mean I'm fine. I'm not going to complain. I have nothing to complain about. A lot of times he says, I can't complain. It's against company policy. I love it when he says that because my mind, I've never said it out loud, but my mind goes to, you are so right. It's against God's company policy. It's against kingdom policy. God inhabits praise, not complaints. That's where my brain goes when he says, it's against company policy. I love that. And then I walk a few steps further in, and there's Rabbi, and I greet him. How are you, Rabbi? He says, I am. And what does that do for me? That immediately focuses my mind on the great I am. He is I am. And I am here to represent him. I am to be like him. Do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you're fooling yourselves. Fooling yourselves. Who are you fooling? Yourselves. You're not fooling the people around you who are watching. You're certainly not fooling God. David wrote a psalm that clearly defines a fool. It's Psalm 53. Starts with the words, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We may talk a little more about that as we go on. But it says further down that God, I don't want to get too close here, but God looked down from heaven to see if there was anyone who was not stupid. Now, Pastor Maria don't like that word, but I use it anyway. He looked down to see if there was anyone who was not stupid. Okay. And it says he was looking for one God-expectant man or one God-ready woman. And he said, no, they're all fools. Well, you don't think you are? You don't do foolish things? You don't ever hear a good word and not do it? What God's teaching says, if you only listen and do nothing, you're a fool. You're fooling yourself alone. Those who hear God's teaching and do nothing are like people who look at themselves in the mirror. They see their faces, and then they go away and quickly forget what they looked like. I heard the message. I heard what Bishop said. I heard God correct me. It was a great message. I went out to my car, got in my car, went home, got busy making dinner, talked to my husband, went out for a walk, walked the dog, he took a nap. What was it God was talking to me about? What was that God said? forget. That's why I go back and do the messages over and over during a week. First of all, because I know I missed half of what he said the first time. But secondly, because I know that each time it's going to remind me what God convicted me of that I need to change. And if I'm not here to change, why am I here? Why do I not keep moving on that forward journey? I love the movie Forrest Gump. You know, run, Forrest, run, run, Forrest, run. Forrest didn't stop somewhere and sit there for 10 years. He kept going on his journey. We hear the word of God. We see something we don't like. We throw rocks at the mirror. We stop there like, that don't apply to me. He must have been talking about Pastor Maria. He wasn't talking about me. Oh, I'd never do that. Oh, they look at themselves in the mirror, see their faces, and go away and quickly forget what they looked like. How much longer? Proverbs 1:22. It's in the Bible. How much longer will you enjoy being stupid fools? How much longer will you enjoy that? Are you enjoying your life with all the struggle? Well, if you're not, change it. Because if you aren't changing it, you are enjoying it. You just don't want to miss it. Admit it. It's easier for you to stay the same than it is to change. That's a fool. That's a fool right there. How much longer will you enjoy being stupid fools? Won't you ever stop sneering and laughing at knowledge? You're saying to yourself, I don't do that. You're saying to yourself, I don't sneer at the word. I don't laugh at the knowledge and wisdom that God shares here. You're saying that to yourself. I can hear you. But you do. Any time you ignore what was said, you are sneering and laughing at the wisdom and knowledge that God shared with you. If you're not going out and doing it, see, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What's he saying? He's saying, God doesn't see me. He's not God. He doesn't see me. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't care that I'm ignoring his word. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't see me. He doesn't know what I did to Pastor Linda. He's not real. That's what you're saying when you don't change. You're saying God is not real. There is no real reason for me to change. There is no consequence for my not changing. God is not real. Those who come to him must believe that he's real, that he exists, and that he rewards them. We'll get to that later too. Taking an honest look in the mirror. You see that? You see that creature there taking an honest look in the mirror? I hope. Yeah, that old goat taking an honest look at the mirror. But you know, Pastor Linda said to me a week or two ago, she said, you know, God told me, Donna, if we had heard him the first time, he would not have had to repeat himself. And I had a thought in that same time period that I shared with her that was, even the devil is smart enough not to repeat what isn't working. He's not that stupid. Pardon my word. Why are we? Why do we keep repeating what isn't working? Why do we keep doing what stresses us out? Why do we keep doing what's failing for us? Why do we keep doing what we know just isn't working? Won't you ever stop sneering and laughing at knowledge? Won't you ever listen to what God is really saying? I suppose I should. Okay. Next one, please. Oh, I love this. When we hear the word and we don't do it, we are like people who are photoshopping their spiritual image. Photoshopping is altering an image in a way that distorts reality, distorts what you really are. And especially it's for doing it for deliberately deceptive purposes. Now you look at the lady on the left before and on the right after. She didn't like the way she looked. So she photoshopped her image. I don't know what she's using it for. But photoshopping in the natural is one thing. But are you photoshopping your spiritual image? Are you looking in the mirror and seeing yourself and going, I don't like that. Let me just rearrange a few. Not fix who I am. Let me put a little spiritual makeup on. Let me pretend a little bit. Let me fake it till I make it. Let me just not let anybody know what's really going on in this heart. You're photoshopping your spiritual image. You see the doggy? Super pup. Are you a mountain-moving, prison-shaking, devil-destroying, giant-slaying, hero for God? But really, you're like Elijah running into the cave at the first sign of trouble? Running into the bishop's office and crying because I can't pay my rent, I can't make my car payment, I just got bad news and I'm falling apart. Are you a spiritual superhero to others? Is that the way you present yourself? But really inside, it's a different picture. Are you photoshopping your spirit? You know what? You deceive yourselves, James said. We don't deceive anyone else, we deceive ourselves. And we don't take the steps to change it. And Facebook has a cute little thing called filters that allows us to take our picture and just make us look so cute. And it's fun. And look at Kylie. Doesn't she look cute? Yes, she does. Oh, I'm sorry. You're dad, aren't you? Sorry, I don't argue with dad. But and Shannon has made such a cute picture of herself. And that's so we can, you know, our profile pictures look a little bit better. The lady on the left is someone I know from Christian Life Center, Becky Cruz. She's the wife of Terry Cruz. And even she likes those filters. And I have nothing against those filters. What I do have a problem with is when we apply spiritual filters to ourselves. Are you filtering your spiritual image? And how do we filter a spiritual image? Comparison? Well, I'm certainly better than they are. That doesn't apply to me. Vicky would do that, not me. Right, exactly. Comparison. How about dismissiveness? You see it and you dismiss it. It doesn't apply to me. I often say, well, I don't know how often I've said here, if what I'm saying doesn't apply to you, just duck. But most of the time it does apply to you, and so don't duck, stand up and get smacked in the forehead. Excuses, that's another filter. Well, God, I couldn't help it. They did la, 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 la. You know your excuses for not changing. You know your excuses for how you act. And you filter your spiritual image. And again, it's only you who doesn't see the truth. How about excuses? Oh, I just said excuses, didn't I? Fear. I'm afraid if I give more money, how am I going to pay my bills? Fear. I'm afraid what people will think of me if I tell them I'm a Christian. I'm afraid to talk to my neighbor about God because maybe they won't. Fear is another way we filter. How about good intentions? Oh, I love this one. God knows my heart. I had good intentions. It didn't turn out well, but God knows my heart. No, I'm sorry, that's a filter. That's you not willing to say, you know, I blew it. Let me go apologize. Let me go ask for forgiveness. We filter the word of God. Next one. Let's go on, please. So, faith comes by hearing. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Now, why are we going to talk about faith? What's that got to do with it? One word. Everything. It takes faith to change. Faith is required to change. Faith comes from hearing, not from having heard in the past. It comes from hearing. Right now, it comes from hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, the word of Jesus Christ, speaking to you the right now Rhema word of God. Change doesn't come from a message you heard 3 years ago. Change comes from hearing as God is speaking to you right now and you recognizing that it's Him speaking to you and saying, yes, God, and then going out and pursuing that change. It comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Jesus Christ. We hear when we read the written word, the logos, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through that written word, that is hearing the voice of God, the word of Christ. But you're not going to change by reading your little three verses a day, close the Bible and run. Yeah, I read the word today. I read John 3:16. It's still in the Bible. I saw it. It's still there. But that's not going to change you. It takes faith to change. We need to live up to our name, Working Faith Ministries. We need to allow faith to work in our hearts to change us. It takes faith for all of the things that we want to do, but beginning with it takes faith to change. Is it easy to change? Have you found it easy to change? It takes faith. Let's go to the next one. Without faith living in us, it would be absolutely impossible to please God. I added that word absolutely. Without faith, we have no way of pleasing Him. Without listening to His word, hearing His voice, doing what He says, having the faith to act on what He says, having the faith to change, it's impossible to please Him. I can go out and heal the sick all day long. But if I'm ignoring what God is telling me to change, first of all, I wouldn't be able to heal the sick all day long if I was ignoring what God's telling me to do, because you've got to be in position with Him. But He's looking, first of all, for us to use our faith right here in our heart to change into the person He needs us to be, to go out and do those signs and wonders, and go out and build the kingdom. You can't build the kingdom if you as a building block are crooked. You're a building block in the kingdom. If you're crooked, crumbling, perverse, cockeyed, in construction, doesn't everything have to be in alignment, Bishop? Everything has to be straight. Angles need to be right. We need to use our faith to change. Without faith living in us, it would be impossible to believe, to please God. We have to come to Him in faith, knowing that He's real, that He's seeing us. Look at Bishop's current message. I see you. That title addresses the fact that the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. God doesn't see me. God doesn't know what I'm doing. God doesn't really care. God thinks I'm great. God's not listening to the evil words I say. He's not seeing the ugly looks I give someone. Yes, He is. If He's real, and He is, He's as real as, more real than your skin, more real than Rob is to me. He's so real, and He rewards the faith of those who passionately seek Him. He's rewarding you with change if you will seek Him for it. If you use your faith and passionately seek Him to change those little things in your heart that are troublesome to Him and to your life. Seek Him for change. Passionately pursue change. He will reward you with change. Going on. Explore me, O God. Excuse me just a minute. I love Psalm 39. In my first year or years of being saved, I had three favorite psalms. One was my battle hymn. But this was one of my favorites because it's such a cry for a relationship with God, a right relationship with Him. And it ends with these verses. Explore me, O God. When you explore something, do you just take a quick glance at it? You're going out to explore the mountains. You're going to drive through them and you're going to look at them and you're going to take pictures and you're going to admire it, right? When we explore something, my family and I used to live in an area where there were where there had been a lot of Indians. And my brother would go out exploring, looking to see if he could find arrowheads and other Indian artifacts. He didn't just walk across the ground and look. Nope, nothing here. No, he looked very carefully for certain signs. Explore me, O God. Look carefully, God. Look carefully in me. Search me, O God. Know the real me. He's the only one who knows the real you. You think you do. I think I do. Don't you surprise yourself sometimes with what comes out of you? Oh my God, I didn't know that was still in me. Yeah, God is showing it to you, Donna. Time to get rid of it. Know the real me. Dig deeply, God, and discover who I am. Put me to the test. And watch how I handle the strain. Is there strain in your life? Is there strain in your marriage? You're being put to the test. Is there strain in your relationship with your children? Raising, you're being put to the test. Is there strain between you and leadership? You're being put to the test. Is there strain at work? You're being put to the test. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. It takes faith. Those are what bring out the worst in us. Those which show us where we need to change, show us where we're not handling the strain. Examine me. See if there's an evil bone in me. You know the expression, there ain't an evil bone in her body. You've heard people say that about somebody who's just amazing. There's not an evil bone in her. I beg to differ with you. There's an evil bone in everybody's body, whether you think it or not. Examine me to see if there is, and guide me down your paths forever. Family, the day for coming in here and hearing a great message and going out and not doing it, the day for coming in here and letting God convict your heart and going out and ignoring what he said to you is over. If we had heard God the first time, he would not have had to repeat himself. But God's been repeating himself for months. Think back to Bishop's message in the rainforest. It was all about how we need to change our hearts. Joseph's brothers needed a heart change so that God could bless them through Joseph. My previous messages, the execution, was about a heart change. Alignment with God was about a heart change. Pastor Linda's message on, what was the title? The mirrors. Evidence. Where's the evidence? Was about your heart and the need to change. Bishop's current message series, I See You, is all about God's perspective of our actions. What's God's perspective when we come and we hear the word and we go out and ignore it? You're a fool. How long will you be stupid? How long will you ignore what I'm saying? How long will you ignore wisdom? How long will you ignore me calling out to you, reaching out to you, crying out to you, pulling you toward me so that you can change, so that I can bless you? He can't bless us if we're unwilling to change. Working Faith Ministries cannot become the church that God ordained it to be, destined it to be, longed for it to be, if we will not use our faith to change. Before you cry out, God, give me a healing anointing, give me the ability to raise the dead, cry out, God, change me. Search my heart, O God. Dig deep. We say a man's home is his castle. And you decorate it and furnish it and live in it in a way that you are comfortable. Am I correct? And it's not just men. It's men and women. Our home is our castle. Your heart is God's castle. Are you decorating it, furnishing it in a way that he's comfortable in it? I like to call them interior castles. There's a castle inside me. It's God's home. And that castle has so many rooms. Jason, that castle has thousands of rooms. And some of them hide some pretty ugly stuff that I all hope you all don't see. You know, we like to Photoshop our spiritual image. But there are so many rooms in our hearts that hide things that God is not comfortable with, that God is not pleased with. And it's on us to give him the key to those doors. Go ahead, God, go in that door, open it up, change everything you need to change. Put new artwork on the walls in that room, Daddy. Change the lighting. Change the furniture. Make my heart a castle that's fit for you. God, you favor us so just with your presence. You favor us so with your word, with your voice. And we are so neglectful. Forgive us. Daddy, I know that you've spoken to me about things I need to change, and I've ignored them. I believe everyone in this room has. So I'm asking for forgiveness for all of us, Father. And I'm asking you to work in our hearts to make us willing to use our faith to do what it says in the Word. The doer of the Word is blessed. So help us, Daddy, to do the things that you're saying to us. Help us to become the people and the church that you want us to be, so that we can carry out your will on this earth in this short lifetime we have. Every day you give us, it belongs to you. You were gracious enough to share it with us, and you have things that you want us to do on that day. You have ways that you want us to change on that day. You have actions that you want us to give up. We have actions that you want us to start. So my prayer for us, for every one of us, is that as we walk out of here tonight, we will not forget the word we heard. We will remember what you said to us, that we will work on it, and that we will change. Help us to use our faith, Father, to change. Let us live up to our name, Working Faith Ministries, that our faith is working in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You are invited to come over to the fellowship hall for cupcakes and fellowship. Thank you. God bless you. God keep you safe on your way home. And have a wonderful day tomorrow after you ask God, am I ready to demonstrate to you as I walk out of the house?